Hey folks, I am Tori Gomez taking over the Talking Downy podcast today. I am joined with the Eric Pierce. I have been given the opportunity to be interning for him and the Downy Patriot these past 3 or so weeks. So today we're going to get to know a little bit more about each other and about him and his journey throughout here in Downey. So, Eric, thank you for joining me today.
How are you doing, Tori?
I am doing better. I think I was a little nervous in the other one, but now I'm kind of loosening up a little bit.
Because your first episode was with Mario.
It was, yes.
And I'm your second episode.
Yes, the second guest.
And it's funny because I haven't been on this podcast for probably more than a year.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I come back, and then Mario's not even on the episode.
Your comeback.
Yeah, this is my comeback.
It's your comeback.
And it was with...
So, like I had mentioned... We're just gonna chat, pick up where we left off.
I saw your episode with Mario.
Okay.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And because you have a limited amount of time, because Mario's a talker. And I say that with love and respect, but he's a talker. So you can only ask maybe 2-3 questions and then it takes off.
Made my job a little easier, but I also enjoy being able to have that comeback of a mm-hmm. question or, you know. My opinion put in there every now and then.
Every now and then.
Yes. So we had mentioned and we had talked that we are so similar, but our lives are switched in the sense that I was born and raised here in Downey. Then I kind of grew up a little bit more in the city of Whittier, and mm-hmm. you grew up city of Whittier, then came on and to just joining the Downey community. So what brought you to Downey?
The Downey Patriot newspaper. Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right. I did grow up in Whittier, and my mom worked here in Downey as a nurse. And then it would have been in 2002, she brought home a newspaper. At the time, it was a Downey Eagle newspaper. Mm-hmm. And there was a story in there about how that newspaper was closing and a new newspaper, the Downey Patriot, was about to open. And so, and they were hiring for interns. And so you're an intern right now with the Downey Patriot. And so she brought it to me. And I think my mom just kind of wanted to get me out of the house. And so she showed it to me. And so I applied, and that's 2002. And that's what brought me to Downey. I didn't have, you know, growing up in Whittier and coming to Downey, I didn't have the best interactions here. Mm. I always kind of saw Downey as being like a little uppity, a little bit, you know, the people who lived here were, you know, a little arrogant, a little snobby, mm-hmm. you know. So I didn't come at that time. You didn't really come to Downey to have a good time. You tended to avoid Downey. Right. And I don't know how much of that has changed over mm-hmm. the years. But no, I came in 2002 and I never left. Mm-hmm. Been here ever since.
And it's funny you mentioned that because our recent article just came out when we had talked about Rodides, Mr. Rodides, and his Coca-Cola collection. And in our family group chat, we had just posted, my dad had sent a picture, and my grandma was like, bring copies of the Eagle. She had said the Downey Eagle. And at first I was like, is she getting this confused with another city's newspaper? Or mm-hmm. and then my mom was like, the Downey Patriot, mom. But now I kind of understand that.
How
she
funny.
Was definitely here during mm-hmm. that transition of paper names. And
if somebody knows the Downey Eagle, you need to show them some respect, because it shows that they're an old school Downey person.
Absolutely.
And they get it.
Now I know mm-hmm. where that idea had sparked from. Mm-hmm. I was a little confused at first. I was like, I mean, a lot of paper companies kind of have similar like names mm-hmm. in terms of like Patriot, the Eagle, just very high end names like that.
And you know what's funny is talking about the Patriot, I get asked this question sometimes, is how the Patriot name came mm-hmm. about. So you gotta remember, this was 2000, and when were you born?
2005.
Okay, so you weren't even born yet. 2002, this was like in March 2002, so just a few months after 9/11.
Oh.
And after 9/11, the entire country was in this state of just ultra, you know, patriotism. Mm-hmm. and just like togetherness. Right. And it was something I remember like very clearly. And the editor at the time, John Adams, you know, he enjoyed it and he said he wanted to tap into it. So that's when the Downey Patriot name came about, because that's when when our country was really truly united.
Right.
And so I think the Patriot name kind of got away from that a little bit, but that's where it came from. And so I think and if you look at the Downy Eagle and compare it to the Downy Patriot, there's a lot of similarities. Right. It's very similar.
Right.
But yeah, that's how the name came from.
And I think you would want, especially with a transition like that, you would want something to completely... You want there to be a difference between the old and the new, something new that you're bringing into something, especially with that transition of name. So, yes, you'd keep some things, some similarities, but you want it to be a fresh start for
100%.
A reason, and it be its own new whole thing.
100%.
Next question. So, as we've had our journey together for these past 3 weeks, I've been able to join you and be a part of just a bunch of the different meetings and different organizations that you're a part of. So, what is something people misunderstand or misinterpret about you?
About me personally?
It can be, yes.
I think a lot of people misinterpret my opinions on things. I think they assume, because I interact with different people of different political backgrounds, I think they tend to assume that I'm either, you know, a Republican. I've been called a Republican. I've been called a Democrat. And people just tend to make a lot of assumptions about me. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, people can think what they want. I think there's also people who assume that, you know, just Downey is my life 24/7. And it's not. You know, like, I have my personal life. I have my family. I have my daughter, and I have other, like, this is my work, you know, and I love Downey. I love what I do, but it doesn't consume me, you know. And so I think people are surprised by that sometimes, you know. And I think people are surprised that sometimes I don't want to talk about Downey, you know. That's not who I am. It doesn't define me, you know. And so I think people sometimes are a little surprised about that. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay.
It's good to create that boundary from the beginning. You know, like, yes, I think that working for the press in general is something that's very difficult. When it comes to you having your own opinions, it's your job to spread the word, your job to spread the news in a neutral sense, in a neutral way. And I think that can sometimes get abused within just media as a whole.
100%.
So, and I can, you know, see how that's difficult, you know.
It is, and I'm really proud that the Downey Patriot just reports news and allows people to come up with their own conclusions. Because I think, you know, the people of Downey are very smart. They're very engaged, and they're more than capable. They're more than capable of analyzing the news and knowing what's going on. Now, when we talk about being neutral, sometimes it also means calling out things, and that could be on difficult topics, you know. And I'll tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves right now, and it's become but more prominent lately, is when you have people, especially like elected officials, who don't tell you how it is that they feel on certain topics, right? You know, they'll tiptoe around issues walk on eggshells.
Avoidance.
And they talk in coded words. And so, and they don't want to take responsibility for some of their actions or inactions, right? And you can't have it both ways. And that's become really difficult lately, where if I think people deserve to know where their elected officials stand on important topics, whether they support it or they don't support it. I want them to say it. Just say how you feel. Do you support this issue? Do you not support it? Or stop pretending that you support something when you really don't,
right?
Stop trying to make everybody happy. Just say where it is that you stand on an issue. Because I could tell you, we see through it, right? We see through it. People see through it. And I think that's one reason that people get frustrated, is not knowing were the elected officials stand or not saying it publicly, right? Which and we used to have that. You know, I remember, you know, 10, 15 years ago, our city council was more vocal in on a variety of issues, mm-hmm. right? I think we kind of got away from it. I think maybe it's because of social media and there's more pushback nowadays.
Right.
But people tend to locally, I think they're almost afraid to just say what's on their mind and just be truthful about it and just kind of get it on the record. It doesn't really happen as much as it used to.
And that is difficult because as you had mentioned earlier with 9/11 and that being probably the closest and most united our country has been in a while, just the shift within political climates, mm-hmm. and it gets people scared to talk about their personal opinions and just... It's kind of like a forbidden word or a forbidden topic to be brought up just like in general. Yes, there is like I believe there's a certain extent to where conversations like that should be brought up. But when it comes to your city and the things you're electing people for to represent you, and when it comes to making decisions for you and your city and what you believe in, that plays a part. So I can see how that can totally be frustrating. You're kind of like, okay, you're going around, but I want to know what is a yes for you, what's a no for you, and see how that corresponds with me, my beliefs, and what I want to vote on for.
You said 100% perfectly, because you know you got voted into office, mm-hmm. to create policy,
right.
and not to go to ribbon cuttings, not right. for the photo ops. You got elected to make decisions on behalf of your citizens, yes. of your residents, and people deserve to know what mm-hmm. where you stand on those issues, and hopefully we can get back to it.
Yes, it's just all about genuinity. And mm-hmm. and other traits that should be more installed, because I feel like sometimes politics can get, you know, a little curvy and a little bit more difficult like that. But
yeah,
you wish that the person has more of a connection and doesn't necessarily separate them as a person and what they're trying to be perceived as in the outside
right.
world.
And I think right now too, everything's so partisan. It's you're over here or you're over right. here. When I think the majority of the people are going to be somewhere in the middle, right? And I think we need more people who are willing to say, yeah, I agree with this, but maybe not all the way, or right. I agree with this on this side,
right.
you know? There's room for compromise all
absolutely,
the time.
Absolutely.
You just got to be able to have the courage to say it.
And the shifts within political parties, I feel, have also changed. Mm-hmm. What they're perceived as now isn't what they were back then. So that also can drag some confusion and just having people completely lean a certain way or completely not lean a certain way. But I completely agree with just like the compromise and just coming to the middle ground. And there's not going to be a side that you're going to 100%, you know.
No.
Like, that's perfect. That's exactly it.
Right? And that's a great point, because I think right now more than ever, we've seen national politics impact local politics.
Absolutely.
And that wasn't always the case.
Right.
And now it's too bad. It's a detriment to mm-hmm. to our local, to our city.
Yeah.
And that's also an issue too, because our local elections are supposedly nonpartisan. Mm. It's not true anymore. It's 100% partisan, because you have people now who are voting along with their national political identity,
right.
and it's wrong. It's 100% wrong.
So now to get us a little bit back into the more city aspect. So you have been very involved, and you have just been all around Downey and have seen Downey change and shift. But do you have a favorite experience or Downey tradition?
You know, I think my favorite tradition, it has to do with my Kiwanis Club. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Downey Los Amigos Kiwanis. And we work with, we work to help Downey children, mm-hmm. whether through scholarships, supporting their clubs or whatever it is. We sponsor the Key Club over at Warren High School. Anything that helps kids, that's what our club mm-hmm. is about. Every November or December, we take a group of Downey Unified's students over to JCPenney, and these are disabled students.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to shop. We give them gift cards, and they're able to shop for Christmas gifts for their family members. And that's really special, because because of their disabilities, oftentimes they're not able to shop for their family members. A lot of times they'll receive presents, but they're not able, physically able to go out and buy gifts for their parents. So we, JCPenney is great. They open the store just for us, and the kids go in there and they buy gifts for other people. They're not buying things for themselves. They're buying things for other people. That's really special, because I feel like that, especially like during the holiday season, that's kind of what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And so Kiwanis has been doing that, I don't know, for decades. I've been participating in it for, I don't know, 12, 13 years. And it's really special. And I love that our club makes it a priority. Right. We fund it. And it is probably my favorite Downey tradition.
I love that. So more of a personal question. You are now a father to an adorable little girl. So what has being a father taught you that you didn't know before?
That's a really good question. I think it taught me patience, 100%. And I think it also, and you know what, more than that, I'll tell you, I just remember my answer. It taught me to pay attention to our parks. And, you know, before I had my daughter, I didn't really pay attention to our parks. Now that I do, I take her to these various parks, and I see how dirty they are. I see that they have graffiti on them. I see that they're just, some of them, not all of them, just a couple of them, they're generally not in good shape.
Right.
People litter. I was at Furman Park about 2 weeks ago, and the benches were just like filthy, you know? And I'm not blaming the city. I'm blaming the people who are just pigs and just, you know, they don't clean up after themselves. And so that's something that I've really noticed, is how important it is to maintain our parks. One other thing is and I think we all know this, but the lack of sidewalks in our neighborhoods, it makes walking in the neighborhood is like really unsafe, because it pushes you out into the street.
Yep.
And you have a car, you know, 2 feet away from you. It's crazy that we do that. And I remember a few years ago, we kind of broached the subject a little bit about maybe installing sidewalks, and the residents are very clear they don't want it. But it also makes...
Rather, they don't care.
Or they don't care.
It doesn't affect me or my everyday life, so...
Right. And you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But the consequences is that we don't have walkable communities. Mm-hmm. We just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a little bit... That was a little bit concerning. And it still is. Because now when I want to go for a walk with my daughter, it's not in Downey anymore. Sometimes it sounds crazy, but we'll get in the car and we'll drive somewhere where it's safer, you know? And that's just the reality of what it is.
Is there a favorite activity that she really enjoys doing here in Downey?
Yeah, you know what? We go to this park, Temple Park, which is really, it's a tiny little park over by the riverbed. But she likes it because there's nobody there. And so she has the playground to herself. Like when we all go to Furman Park, there's so many kids, she gets annoyed, and I do too. And so she doesn't like having so many people there. And so we'll go to Temple Park. There's usually nobody there. And she just kind of like runs around like she owns the park, and she loves it. She really does.
Which one's the park that's by Chris and Pitts?
That one's Dennis the Menace.
Mm.
And that was a good park.
It was. I remember when we would go there, which would be very rare.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have like the knight sword in there and the rock, and you try to pull it out. Now, like every time I pass by, I'm like, is it gone? Like they've completely shifted it. And then them having the pirate ship, like that was something that I was like,
yeah, those are gone. Those were back, you know, those were old school toys. But the park is still great. I had my second birthday party at Dennis and Menace Park. I did. And so when my daughter turned two, we were going to have it there also.
Uh-huh.
But the parking was just too limited, so we actually had it at Furman. But that is a good park. The parking itself is a little bit tough.
It is.
But it's a really nice park.
It is. My first birthday, yes, was at Furman Park. Before, pre-transition and renovations, which now I remember when we had moved and it got all, like, redone, I was like, It's like, gosh, where was this? They have some pretty good things. And me, I still get entertained by that and seeing how, like, my brothers play alongside on all the equipment and everything. It's fun to see the transitions and what new gadgets they have.
And how it changes. But Downey has good parks. Generally, Downey has good parks. I think there's room for improvement. I'll tell you one way that we can improve, I think, if we had some splash pads somewhere, that would be really nice. Cities like Cerritos, they have Whittier, they have splash pads.
Yes.
Is it South Gear or Paramount? Is right like over Rosecrans. They have like a splash pad park. Mm-hmm. I think if we do that at somewhere, I think that would be really.
That's a great idea. That would be really popular. That's a great idea because you're completely right. There was a splash pad that was in Whittier by Uptown, what used to be. Mm-hmm. My sister and I would go there all the time. And that was when we still lived in Downey. But I have seen those splash pads up and coming, and especially in the summer. You know, it's like
oh, absolutely.
It's free. Isn't it free?
It's free.
You just go and then you just sign in. But then,
and you have
like,
a good, you run around you have a good time. And you get wet. It's a good time.
And I like seeing like the I just get so entertained by them, and I'm just like, oh, if only. But they closed the one down in Whittier.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah,
oh,
that's like too bad. It was like a little like rainbow and had like the sprinklers, and now they made it like a park, a better park. But they moved the splash pad and made it kind of a little bit more smaller. I saw a TikTok video the other day of somebody mentioning parks, and they're like, this is why it's so important to keep up with our parks. And it's just a person going out there, and they're like full on like cleaning, like scrubbing it. Mm. And I was like, that's so kind. That was like unlike any other TikTok I have seen. You see people clean pools. You see people clean tombstones. Mm-hmm. You see people...
But it makes sense, right?
It really does.
Because how many people utilize our parks every single day? And I think we want them to be in good condition.
Absolutely.
We should be proud of our parks.
Yes, and especially with children. Like, I feel like that's a very, that target audience, it's important to keep up all the sanitation and health with that.
100%.
Because you never know. Sometimes they'll be off within 0.5 seconds and you don't know what they're doing, 100%. What they're up to. So, what is a major hope you have for the city?
Splash pads.
Splash pads. That honestly is a brilliant idea.
You know, my hope for the city is that people continue to be engaged. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is sometimes we have, you know, our demographics shift, right? And I think over the years we see, you know, people... generations pass away, new people move in, and that's great. That's evolution. But I think sometimes there's I've noticed like the amount of people who are involved in their city as far as volunteering and giving back, it's dropped a bit, at least. And this is like my unscientific observation. Fewer people are being involved in their community. And the ironic part is I feel like a lot of people move into Downey because we have these service clubs, we have these organizations that help make Downey be a really fantastic city to raise a family. Mm-hmm. But you also got to do your part.
Right.
And you have to give back. You have to volunteer. You have to clean the parks. Mm-hmm. You got to pick up litter. Whatever it is to make your street a little bit of a better place, you should be doing it. Right. I don't think it's right to just move into the city, move into Downey and just kind of reap the benefits without also giving back.
Right.
You know, and I hope that doesn't go away completely. I don't think it will. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to see Downey continue to have that reputation of being a community where people help each other.
Absolutely. And I think it's. To kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, people that come here just get too comfortable. And people that have already been here get too comfortable. They're just like, okay, yes, day to day. But it takes a lot to run a city and keep a city the way it is if you don't want it to be completely
in the
slumps. But we're blessed to be able to be so – we're a good size. There's different you know, districts, that, as we had mentioned earlier, but it's a blessing to be able to have communications and to be able to network with people.
There's so many opportunities. Like, and, you know, one of my pet peeves is on Facebook in the Positively Downy page. You know, it's called Positively Downy, but it's nothing but people just complaining and complaining about, you know, there's trash over here or somebody dumped something or there's graffiti or whatever it is. But what are you doing about it, right? Right. It's people complaining about, and then they're tagging their council members or whatever, you know. And that's fine, but also what are you doing, you know? Sometimes you could, it's easier to just fix it yourself, you know. Yeah. If there's litter, go clean it up. It's not going to bother you, you know. I wish people would just be a little bit more proactive in that way.
Absolutely. Okay, probably the last question, but... what is your Third Street order?
My Third Street coffee order.
The correct one.
The correct one. So it's funny that you ask because the Downey Patriot office is like a 2-minute walk right. away from Third Street
coffee. I did not coffee. Realize literally how close, because you have like the perception of it mm-hmm. whenever you drive by. But being there for the past few weeks, I'm like, even to the bank, I'm like, this is amazing. This is so much closer than I thought.
It's right there. And I'm there maybe 3 times a week. And so I'm pretty simple, honestly. Mm-hmm. I get just a simple house blend coffee.
Okay.
And I add creamer to it. That is what I get. I know that's really boring. It's nothing. French vanilla creamer. Okay. French vanilla creamer.
French vanilla
creamer. Are you?
Person fan.
Oh, perfect. As well. Now, I'll tell you, when... sometimes I'll go multiple times a day. And so if I go like on my second time there, I'll get the decaf. And so I do get the decaf. And sometimes I should be saying that, but sometimes I sneak there mm-hmm. because if people from the office see that I'm going over there, they'll start kind of putting in their orders, mm-hmm. which I don't mind, except sometimes their orders are kind of complicated. And that kind of annoys me, to be honest, because like I'm that type of person, I'm going to order something off the menu. I'm not even going to customize it. Just give it to me how it comes. But I get other people who add whipped cream, or they add cinnamon, or they take out an ingredient, and it just bugs me so much. And so, but what's your order? We have
gotten complicated. I've seen some Starbucks cups where the mm-hmm. ingredients or the toppings just goes down.
Just
and
order
down.
A coffee. Just you order know, a coffee.
Recently, I ordered their breakfast sandwich, mm-hmm. the bagel with egg, bacon, and cheese. That's mm-hmm. quite filling. It's actually really good.
It's tasty.
But any other times that I go, my grandma used to go there a lot, and she would get, I think it was like a mocha. Mm-hmm. She's a very much a hot drink than a cold drink.
Mm-hmm.
But when she does, she'll get her hot drink like in a frap style. But personally, I've been getting their raspberry iced tea. With sweetened with brown sugar, and then mm-hmm. I add boba, and I'm just like,
oh, there you go.
That's it. Yesterday I tried their green tea lemonade, mm-hmm. and that was
it really good? Oh, good.
But when it comes to coffee, I haven't really tried out a lot of their options, if I'm going to be 100% honest.
Well, you have time.
I know. I do have time, and I don't know. I can never make up my mind, because although as extravagant I want to be with, like, you know, fraps and this and that, I have to watch what I consume.
Right.
I mean, maybe it is best to just be basic with it.
I mean, and honestly, sometimes I try to be basic with it too, because they can be a little bit slow mm-hmm. in getting your order to you. So I try to order things that are not going to take, you know, extra time because I don't want to be there, especially since they got rid of their couch. I don't know if you remember.
Yes,
they had
a
couch
in there, right?
In the corner.
And then now it's just tables?
It's just tables now. So it's a little bit less comfortable. I'm not knocking them. They have the reasons. But I try to get in. This is for anywhere. I try to get in and get out as fast as I can.
I mean, you're always on the go. So, it's convenience. It's all about that. And you mm-hmm. think a lot of people that go in there are from, you know, these neighboring businesses and office
buildings. Employees and
exactly.
workers.
So that's their stop, and it's just all about the convenience.
I remember they used to be open at 6 a.m. This is pre-COVID.
Okay, I was about to ask what their mm-hmm. hours were.
Yeah, so now they open at 7 a.m., but there was a time that they were open at 6. And remember, because I'm an early bird. I'm in the office super early. And I would go there. A lot of times I would meet Ray Messler. He's from Downey Federal Credit Union. He would mm-hmm. be there also. But after COVID, they shifted their hours to 7 a.m., which is not early. But I remember, and I'm never going to forget, when they would open at 6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would it be packed when you would go that
early? No, it was empty. It was empty. So I get it. But Wonderful Family owns it, locally owned, and they've owned it, I think, since 2000.
It's a gem.
Yeah, sure. We're lucky to have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, do you have any questions for me? I've finished with the ones that I had prepared for you.
So you grew up in Downey.
I did.
Moved to Whittier.
Yes.
What do you miss most about Downey?
My neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I do miss how close our houses were. For me, now in Whittier, our houses are a little bit spread apart, and it is more citizens of older age. So I think I just miss having kids in the neighborhood. We would hop over my neighbor's fence, mm-hmm. and we would go and eat her mom's chocolate chip cookies. My Nina lived across the street, and just we lived in a cul-de-sac. So everything was just about community. 4th of July, there we were. Mm-hmm. Oh, birthday party, come over here. Oh, we're gonna go watch a movie, let's go. Like, it was all just so tight-knit, but it was just my sister and I, and I had like some classmates that lived in the block behind, and it was just great. But those are great childhood memories, and now that I've grown up and in the place that I'm at now, I don't mind it, but I also think about my brothers, you know. Mm-hmm. But they have, thankfully, the school that they go to now, they've met people that live like just down the block, so now they'll ride their bikes and go hang out. So I'm glad that they found that source. But I do miss the nostalgia of my house, and that's something that I keep bringing up to my parents. Like, every time I'm over here, I'm like, I always make it a point to just go stop by, because some of my neighbors are still there. Mm-hmm. But I just miss that little cul-de-sac, and I'm just like, I get just so bombarded with all the memories that we had, and they're good memories. Mm-hmm. So
best burrito in Downey.
Ooh.
I put you on the spot.
Burrito. In Downey, burrito.
In Downey. You have different options from your childhood that you remember. And I'm asking you because I'm a Mexican food guy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you my answer while you think about it. My favorite burrito in Downey right now is a wet burrito from La Chula. Ooh. On Downey and Firestone. I think it's called the Chula burrito. And it's fantastic. It has steak and shrimp. And it comes, like, you got to eat it there if you can. You want to. It's a wet burrito. And it's, honestly, I'm not just saying this, it is the best burrito I've ever had in Downey. It's you got to try it.
I'm trying to think in terms of, like, outside of the house burritos. Mm-hmm. I think we would have breakfast burritos, mm-hmm. at most. But I'm trying to think of, like, where we would get them from.
Mm-hmm. You know who used to have a good burrito?
Did Pete's have breakfast burritos?
They still do.
I think
they still do.
We would, if anything, we would get our burritos from Pete's.
From Pete's.
Because I'm trying to think of, like, other...
Mumble Grill used to have really good burritos. Remember Mumble Grill?
Yes. We used to go there, like, on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
So if it weren't there, and if we were to go to a place, it would definitely be there. But if it were just brought to us to come and eat at home, I think I would say Pete's Patio.
Yeah.
Pete's Burgers.
Yeah.
Because it was convenient.
It was convenient. The
boxes and you share.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Back in the day.
But, I mean, we're the household that you'd make burritos of whatever leftovers have there, pass it out, and take on vacations. But yeah.
Good.
That was a good question.
Yeah. I put you on the spot.
Definitely on the spot. I was good. That's something that I don't really recall that much of.
Yeah. But you're going to be thinking about later on.
I know.
You're
now I'm going to be thinking, what other burrito, what other places had and had just like had burritos.
Yeah. That's funny. Think about it. Next episode. This has been fun.
This was fun. So thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 2 of my takeover on Talking Downey. We hope to see you next time, and I hope this isn't the last time I see you guys. So don't forget to follow the Instagram and continue listening. Thank you, Eric, for being on with me and just giving me this experience and this opportunity to get to know more about you. So thank you, guys.